In our ongoing look at the criminal justice system, we're going to hear a story about your rights while in prison. Does a convicted prisoner have the right to freedom of speech while they're incarcerated? More specifically, does a prisoner have the right not to be a snitch? In 2010, Mark Burns was serving time for manslaughter at Coxsackie Correctional Facility in New York State when he got hurt working in the prison commissary.
I was doing inventory in the commissary, and as I was putting some of the canteen away on the shelf, a spaghetti can came down and hit me in my eye, which was witnessed by a corrections officer who is a steady, which means that he was there every single day working in the commissary. He's the one that wrote the report and came down to the hearing to testify where the injury was sustained from.
What guards wanted him to say about the injury was that it was the result of a physical assault by another guard. They wanted him to frame their colleague, according to Mark, and serve as an informant.
I was very influential as far as, you know, people needing me. I was always altruistic in nature, trying to help people, you know, better themselves about rehabilitation. So I was called down to the office. They told me that since I knew so many different people, they wanted to know where drugs is coming in, maybe weapons around the facility. I did not have any of this information.
But Mark refused to play along. And as a result, he says guards retaliated by placing him in solitary confinement for 7.5 months. Mark was eventually transferred to another prison where he filed a lawsuit against Coxsackie Correctional Facility. He claimed the guards violated his First Amendment right to remain silent.
The Department of Corrections, they like to take things in their hand, which I mean by law. And abusive authority, basically, happens on a regular basis in there.
In December 2017, Mark was released after serving 19 years for his crime. And after a judge initially ruled against him in the case he brought against Coxsackie in 2013, this past May, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals sided with Mark. Andrew Cohen, a senior editor at the Marshall Project, brings us this case in point. And he explains what this case means for a prisoner's right to remain silent.
I think this goes on quite frequently, where guards approach an inmate and they ask the inmate to be an informant, to be a snitch. What's remarkable here is that the episode comes to light, and most importantly from my perspective, you get a federal appeals court ruling, the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in May, ruling that Mr. Burns had a constitutional right not to become an informant. And when guards asked him not just to be an accurate informant, but to essentially lie and inform about things he did not witness or see. So you have now new precedent in the federal judicial system that is pretty significant in terms of protecting other inmates who may be in this situation, not just in the Second Circuit, but perhaps around the country as well.
You know, you assume the loss of freedom when you are incarcerated, right? That's the whole point of being incarcerated. But I don't think you assume the loss of your constitutional rights, Andrew. I'm just wondering, is that what also happens when you're incarcerated? Do you need to
absolutely
fight in order to maintain them? It's stunning to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You lose almost every part of every constitutional right, or a little bit of it. But none of us have an absolute First Amendment right. We have a right to remain silent, right? We hear that in the TV shows. But it's not absolute. If a prosecutor gives us immunity and we don't testify, we could be held in contempt of court. When you get sentenced, when you get convicted, when you go to prison, you lose a lot of rights. And what the prison officials in this case said was that there was a penological interest in basically having this play out the way it did from the prison's perspective, that, you know, guards should be able to ask inmates to inform. And if they don't inform, there should be the ability to punish them in some fashion. And that's essentially what the court rejected, saying that, you know, whatever constitutional rights a prisoner has, whatever First Amendment rights to remain silent somebody has, or Fifth Amendment rights to remain silent, there are some limitations to the way that officials can intrude on those rights.
And Andrew, you know, one of the things that struck me too is that the law is different depending on who you are, I guess, right? I mean, don't guards have immunity in this case, or what is their situation?
Sure, they had immunity and they relied on that immunity and they were protected by that immunity. They were not punished as far as we can tell. In fact, one of them who is alleged to have done this is still at the facility and for all we know was never disciplined. The Second Circuit that issued this ruling in favor of Mr. Burns, recognizing his constitutional rights, also said that even though he had a constitutional right to remain silent, there was going to be no punishment, no liability for the prison or the guards. So the law is still set up to protect the corrections officers in this situation. Now, if something like this happens again a year or two down the road, where there is this recognized constitutional right, it may be a different story. In other words, these guards in New York and in all of the jurisdictions covered by the Second Circuit essentially are put on notice now. If they come to an inmate and they say, we want you to snitch for us, and we don't really care if you're accurate or honest enough in your snitching, that could be the sort of constitutional violation that does generate some sort of a money damage. Mr. Burns did not win his case in that sense. He didn't get the money at the end of the day. He didn't get a finding of liability, but he did, for all the inmates who come after him, have this recognized constitutional right not to speak.
Andrew Cohen is a senior editor for the Marshall Project. Thanks for being with us, Andrew.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.